And welcome back to Coast AM. This is another hour of open lines to go for you. Don't forget, I'm on a jet plane on my way to Toronto tomorrow for a major event at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. Those of you in the Toronto area, come on by. They tell me there's just a few tickets left. 1,200 people stadium there, little theater. So come on by. We're going to come back in a moment. We'll take the final hour of open line calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, George Norrie back with you. Good to be with you again. Open lines, and let us go to Paula in Sandpoint, Idaho. Paula, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, George. It's good to talk to you.
You too.
I heard you were talking a little earlier about some childhood paranormal experiences, and I'm hoping that this may qualify. I'm 55 years old. And so 1963 would have made me roughly six.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in the front yard under the Dutch elm trees with a group of other neighborhood kids. My grandmother was sitting on the front porch keeping an eye out, as grandparents are wont to do. And we were having a snack and, you know, watching the birds and goofing off as kids do. And there was a group of robins hopping around the yard, and we're giggling and watching them and try to be quiet, you know, see how close they would get. And one of the birds got pretty darn close. He was probably maybe 3 feet from us. Pretty brave bird. And my grandmother says to me, "Stick your arm out." So, you know, I'm like six, so I stick my arm out. And this bird hops up on my arm. And hops all the way up to my shoulder. And the kids are all squealing, but it doesn't seem to affect this bird, and I'm in total shock.
Not scared?
No, no. You mean, you're six. You don't know to be scared because my grandma told me, stick your arm out, so it must be okay, right? And the bird hops up, and he's hanging out on my shoulder for a while, and he stayed for probably 5-6 minutes. All the other kids are sticking their arm out trying to get him to come over. Nope, he's not interested. And he eventually flew away, and I was the coolest thing since sliced bread for, you know, the rest of the day. And it's continued to happen pretty much for the rest of my life.
Really?
Yep.
They just keep showing up on you, huh?
Yep, not just robins. I get pigeons. I've had owls. I've had woodpeckers.
if you stuck your arms out, if you stuck your arms out like a cross, would a whole bunch of birds land on you?
No, it's totally random. I don't see. I've had hummingbirds, and I would never have known they were there except I had someone with me, and they said, "Do you know you have a hummingbird on your head?" Well, you know, they don't weigh anything. How would I know? Sometimes, once I was coming out of the grocery store, I'm pushing my cart full of groceries, and I can see this coming. Here comes this pigeon. He's heading right for me. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. And sure enough, lands on my head like a hat, and I'm like, fine. So I load my groceries, you know, into the truck, and I'm thinking, okay, and I kind of scoot him off, and he's definitely wants to stay, but I scoot him off, and I jump into the truck. I shut him out of the truck, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, I'm good. And I drive home, and as I'm driving into the driveway, my husband has the garage door open, and he's looking out, and I can tell by the look on his face that I did not lose the pigeon. I open the truck door. Sure enough, the pigeon is riding on top of the car, and it's the open truck, and as soon as I open the door, he lands on my head. I've had them, as a bonus though, I've never had one relieve themselves on me.
Well, I was just going to ask you that, Paula. I didn't know how to say it.
Yeah,
good.
There you go. Hey, you know, that's...
Well, what do you think? Let me ask you this before I let you go. What do you think's happening to you? Why do you attract them so?
I have no clue. I own cats.
Have they ever pecked at you?
Nope. No, they never peck me. They never do anything aggressive. The pigeons always seem to want to ride around on my head, so I look like I have, they make lovely hats. I'm thinking, you know, if I could just get everybody else on board, it'd be quite the craze.
People in Sandpoint, Idaho must think you're very strange.
Yeah. But, you know, there you go. We're all a little off up here. It's the lake, man. It's the hidden stuff.
Well, let me tell you, Paula, it's a great, great story. I don't know why you're attracted to him, but you know what? Alfred Hitchcock would have loved you in The Birds. Andy's in Savannah, Georgia. First-time caller. Andy, good morning. Go ahead.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, just another beautiful day down south.
Super.
So, I got an interesting story for you.
Okay.
So, first off, got to let you know that I found out about you and your show by watching Ancient Aliens on History Channel.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay. Let's see here. I was living in an apartment. Me and my wife, newlywed. I just got back from Afghanistan. We moved into an apartment. And, for the first couple of months, everything was fine. Everything was great. And then suddenly our mood started to change, and we started getting into some really bad arguments. And at the same time, my dog started getting really, really sick. Strange sick. We couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She had, diarrhea, throwing up, chewing on the carpet and stuff like that. Well, then later on down the road, we finally got to the point where we were getting ready to move out. We were going to move out of the apartment. We're going to get a house. We're going to move into a rental house and do all that kind of stuff. At the same time, I'm starting to notice that my mood would just randomly change. Like, I would go into this manic depressant stage, and I'd be doing the dishes, and then all of a sudden I just want to throw dishes across the room and just break stuff. Well, once we started getting closer to actually moving out of the apartment, we started noticing that things were getting misplaced and rearranged and random stuff, nothing of importance, just, like one day I put my keys somewhere in one spot, I wake up the next morning and they weren't where I put them. I put them on the counter, they ended up on the dining room table. My wife would wake up in the middle of the night and she would hear what sounded like the kitchen sink running and it was overflowing onto the floor, and it freaked her out. Well, a friend of mine that lived in the unit across from us, her name was Haley. She's not a medium, and she can't talk to them, she can't see them, but she can sense them. She can sense spirits and all that. And she'd come over to the house one day, and she's like, "Do you guys have something that lives in your house?" I'm like, "We don't know. We're not sure. We noticed some weird things going on." She's like, "You have something in your house. It's not good. It's standing at the top of the stairs and it is staring at me."
Wow. Well, I'm convinced that most homes have strange things going on.
Right. And this gets really strange. If you got a minute, I'd like to go in deeper.
I've got about 40 seconds.
Oh man. Okay. All right, long story short, my wife got pushed down the stairs a couple of times, and we ended up, calling up my chaplain, and he helped us bless the house, and then it went away. I told my buddy about it. My buddy's from West Virginia. And it turns out one night when I was actually laying in bed and I saw it, I had my eyes closed, but I could see it staring at me from the kitchen. Big bright blue eyes, sandy blonde hair, and a scraggly, smiling, snarling mouth. And the more afraid I got, the more it started smiling, and it became like a demonic smile, Well, once we got rid of it, I told my buddy about it. He's like, "Wait a minute, 8, 9 years old, blonde, sandy hair, bright blue eyes, scraggly teeth." I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "That's the same demon that's been following me around since I was a kid. He was at his grandma's house, and it was on the other side of the couch, and he actually, he thought it was his brother, and he went around the couch to try and scare it, and it disappeared. And he told his grandma about it. And his grandma went out, got the Bible, and started rebuking the spirit."
And did it work?
Yeah, the spirit went away. But then his grandma had told him that this sandy-haired little boy had actually went to his uncle's house and was standing outside, and actually his uncle had an interaction with it. And he was like, the little boy was trying to come inside, and his uncle was like, "No, you need to leave."
Oh, it sounds like a Chucky doll story. Andy, that's your 40 seconds. I got to run. Let's take a few more calls here. Joe is in Ohio. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, hi, George. Thank you for all that you do. I'm wondering if you might help me solve a mystery here tonight. Back when I was in high school, which has been almost 50 years ago, I was hit by a car while riding a bicycle and knocked unconscious. They found me, cab driver found me by the side of the road, bloody and unconscious, and he used his radio to call in and get the authorities there to get me to the hospital. Now, from about 10 seconds before that accident till the time I woke up in the hospital, there's just a blank space. I've never been able to remember anything about the details of the accident, kind of like the driver of Princess Diana's car had no memory of the accident there.
That's right.
And I was wondering if any of your guests have ever commented on, is there a way to perhaps, you know, bang your memory around a little bit and get some of that memory back as to what happened when you've been in an accident like that?
You know, we've talked to some psychiatrists on the air, Joe. It's got to be time. Time heals that and gets that done. I got to tell you a bizarre story. I was walking across the street a couple days ago. There was no traffic, none. As I'm halfway across, I see what looks like a car 15 feet away from me zooming right at me. And I said, man, this is it. I'm toast. And it was just like a ghost car. It just kept going right past me. It was the strangest feeling. I mean, you could not see anything, but once this thing got up close, it looked like a car. It was shaped like a car, and it just kept going. It was totally bizarre. Let's go to Dave in Orlando, Florida. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Oh, how's it going, George?
Good, Dave.
As you can tell, I'm a dedicated listener. It's 4 o'clock here in Orlando. I talked to your screener there. I have a incident that happens to me, and it generally only happens when I'm married. And it's something that I've had with me since I was a small child, and it's a entity, I guess you want to say, very tall, about 6 foot, translucent. And just to make a long story short, there's only been 3 people that I've ever told about it, and you're the third. And there was a period of time to where every morning at 3 o'clock, I would become wide awake, and not to wake my wife up, I would get up and go in the living room and sit down and just kind of chill out. And this entity or whatever it was would come down the hallway away from my bedroom, stand there for a few minutes, and then make its turn and go down the hallway into my children's room. Wasn't something that I was afraid of. Didn't bother me. It wasn't malevolent in any way. And so one morning my wife got up and said, why do you keep getting up at 3 in the morning? And so I told her, I said, well, there has been this thing that has been with me ever since I can remember as a child. And at times it wakes me up and I see it. So a few months later, my dumb butt, being an alcoholic and a drug addict at the time, ended up going to jail. And my wife and my stepson used to play a board game that we all played together. And one Friday night while I was in jail, they were playing the board game.
What was the board game, by the way? I'm curious.
It was one of those survival board games. What would you do if you were on a hunting trip and all you had was a knife and a twine of string and somebody got hurt? How would you medicate that person to keep them alive until you could get to society to keep somebody alive? It was just a trivia game of how to survive in the wild. And she saw it. Now, she never said anything to me about it. She just never mentioned it until one night I woke up at 3 in the morning, went in the living room, and saw the entity come down the hallway like it normally does. It stood there for a few moments, and then it walks around the corner. It doesn't go through walls. It just walks around the corner and goes into the children's bedroom, which I never followed it. I just kind of let it be. And she said that one night while you were in jail, me and Dominic were playing the board game, and we looked up, and there it was. And it walked through the living room and went into the child's bedroom and disappeared. And I had been trying to call you this morning, trying to catch your other guest, hoping that he could give me some kind of insight on what this is. Whatever it is, never appears when I'm single, as is I'm single now, so I haven't seen it. But whenever I'm in a serious relationship, this thing is there.
It doesn't want you happy for some reason.
I don't know if it's a guardian angel or if it's something that's just keeping an eye on me. I have to say, 4 years ago, I broke my back in a construction accident, and they told me that I would never walk again. And after extensive physical therapy and me never taking no for an answer, I walk again. I'm in perfect shape after a few surgeries, but I just don't understand why this, whatever it is, shows up only when I'm married. It's just the weirdest thing. I'm not afraid of it, and it's never done anything to scare me, but it just kind of always seems to be there when there's going to be a transition in my life.
And does it help you or hurt you or try to screw things up for you?
No, it never interacts as far as trying to screw things up. It's never been malevolent. It's never caused any harm. It's just there.
That's interesting. So no involvement really in your life. It's just hanging around.
Yeah, it's just hanging around. And the only thing that, you know, I talked to my dad about it one time, and my dad said, well, I never told you this, but your grandfather was in a secret society a long time ago. And the one thing that my grandfather told my father before he passed away was, you will witness the end of the world as we know it, and your children will be affected by this, and I will do what I can to make sure that you're not affected. And for something tells me that that's my grandfather.
Well, I was just going to ask you. Just going to ask you if you had a relative that had passed on. Bingo. That's probably him. Let's go to Mary in San Diego. Hey, Mary, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I've been listening to you for so long.
Thank you.
Anyhow, my story is, and bear with me, I'm a little bit nervous, and pretty sad for me still.
Right.
I've actually had two husbands commit suicide.
Oh.
And my second husband, he actually knew my first husband. And when we first got married, I thought he was teasing, but he would say, my husband's name was Fred, I feel him here, and he's mad at me.
Oh.
And I would laugh and say, no, don't be silly. So as the years went by, Craig would always tell me I would never do something so stupid. And I was in Arkansas. Well, prior to me going to Arkansas, his niece and his mother came over and was playing the Ouija board. But before they came over, and I don't like Ouija boards, unlike you.
Right.
I know what they can do because I can sense things myself. And I was sensing a little thing going on in our condo at the time. And our telephone would ring in the middle of the night, different numbers, like it would come up San Diego County and things like that, but nobody was ever there.
Strange.
And so then they brought in the game, which I didn't like at all. And I could tell he was getting a little afraid. And it said that my first husband was there. So then that really upset Craig. And so they kind of just stopped playing the game. So then I went to Arkansas, and he was calling me, and he was so afraid. He said, Mary, I saw Satan and God fighting for my soul.
All right, hold on right there, Mary. Hold on. I'm going to come right back to you when we come right back, okay? Now, let's give you a little synopsis. We're talking with Mary in San Diego. Sad, tragic story, but her first husband committed suicide. Now her second husband is listening and playing with the Ouija board. Mary, let's go back to you. Go ahead.
Yes. And so afterwards, I went to Arkansas to visit my grandkids. And he would call me at night, and he'd be so frightened. And he said that God and Satan were fighting for his soul. And he'd say, well, pray for me, pray with me. And so I would. And literally this went on for about a month, and I said, you know, I'm just going to, he kept asking me to come home, but I rarely get to see them, and so I was asking everybody around, can you please check on Craig, can you please, you know, he's not doing well, for some reason, you know, they all thought it was bizarre, why would he be, and he said that in hell he saw his mom and two of his cousins, and then he would actually be, like, talking to them, and he'd be talking to Satan and God when I was on the phone, as if I wasn't there. And so you can imagine how afraid I was. And
oh, sure.
So I drove home. It took me 2.5 days. And so I was home for about a month, and he would still, you know, kind of be afraid, but they kind of went away. He felt a little bit safer with me home. And one afternoon, I came home, and he was gone on the kitchen floor. And the kitchen sink was on, water was pouring all over, and the kitchen was just a disastrous mess. I don't even know what happened. And, well, it was actually what ended up happening was he took too many drugs. And but what happened in the kitchen, I have no idea. He was naked. I have no idea why. It was just a bizarre scene. And I had never seen a psychic before. And I wanted to try to get some answers. I didn't know what happened. And I actually talked to Char Margolis and to Sandy Anastasi. And they both told me that Char, right away, just her look on her face was like, she said, this was trickery. He was tricked into killing himself. And I said, I kind of thought so, but she didn't really want to come out and say it. And then Sandy told me that eventually I'll find out what happened, but right now, you know, it's too much for me to know.
Sure, absolutely. And how are you doing now, Mary?
I wish I could say good, but he's never come to me, ever. My first husband came to me once in a dream right after, and he looked really horrible. And I just kind of woke up in a start, and I said, are you okay? And he said, no. And that's the only time I've ever heard from them or anything. And then, George, I did want to mention to you, I heard you last night about your friend and getting his bowel cut.
Oh, my gosh, what a horrible story for him.
Did he make it?
He's in bad, bad shape. They tried to get him walking today, and he collapsed.
Yeah, my father.
I don't know if he's going to make it. This guy was healthy going in, he may not make it.
No, my dad didn't make it.
Okay, well, Mary, anytime you need us, we're here for you, okay?
Well, thank you so much, George.
Okay, sweetie. We'll be back. Okay, we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast Time in just a moment. Okay, welcome back. Let's go right back to the phones. We'll go to Dom in Maine, east of the Rockies. Hey, Dom, welcome to the show.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good.
I had something happen to me in 2008. It actually all started happening after my mother had passed.
Okay.
And I started reading the Bible, fasting. And then I guess weird things started happening. And like having dreams and stuff like that.
Your dreams aren't weird.
Yep. Well,
unless something
is anyways, I had this urge to go to this certain place. I can't tell you exactly where. And it's a mountain anyways.
Okay.
But I had gone there, drove my truck there, left my family. And I got there. It was probably, 8, 9 o'clock at night, started walking. And it was like January 4th. And I walked up with my Bible, and I followed an orb. And almost like showing me where to go, I guess. And I make it, like, 3.5 miles up this particular place, and I see these two hairy creatures with long fur walk into the woods.
Like Bigfoot?
No. No, different.
All right.
But anyways, I just kept walking, praying, and asking forgiveness for my sins, and then I started hearing knocking on both sides of me. And I walked up some more, and I'm watching these stars fall in this one area of this place. And I got up on this ledge-type thing, and I yelled the Our Father's Prayer. And when I did that, that orb shot straight up into the sky and turned into this golden light being that had wings, feet, hands.
Who were those creatures, though, Don?
The creatures? Well, yeah. I'll get back to that in a minute. And anyways, I kept walking, and now daybreak's coming. And I look off to the left of me. Well, no, actually it was the right side. And I see these two creatures sitting up in a rocky area. And the only place they didn't have any fur was around the face, so it almost looked human. And, they touched this rock almost like without using words to wherever I was going. Once I get up there to put my hand on the rocks. So I made it up there, and I was under guard, so I took my hat off, prayed, and I put my hand on these rocks, and then I saw visions in the clouds.
Well, I got to tell you, I think what you had was an epiphany, no doubt, no doubt. But the creatures to me still sound like they might have been like Sasquatch. Let's go to Mesa, Arizona. Byron, thanks. Go ahead.
Byron, George, I am 72 years old, and I can remember when I was 4 years old, I was very, very sick, and I started floating towards the ceiling off from the bed.
That happens.
And well, I was looking through the wall, and I could see my guardian angel. He was kind of a golden color and came running down the hall towards me. Well, then my mother asked me to go sleep with my sister. And you know the old dressers where the center is lower than the two sides and the mirror in the back?
Yeah.
He was sitting on that one corner, and I woke up screaming at my sister, "Look, look," you know, and she's going, "What? What?" And she could not see him, but he was like the thinker. He had his hand on his chin and sitting there watching over me. And I didn't realize until the 1980s when I started studying about, you know, psychic abilities and et cetera, what that really was, that he was my guardian angel. And ever since that, when I have dreams, there will be somebody on my right side that I can never, ever see, but I can communicate telepathically with that person. And I've had dreams that would come true, you know, the next day or 3 months. This person, this guardian angel, is always beside me.
Your dream state, Byron, is very powerful. And look, I'm telling you, you can accomplish anything you want in your dream state. Guardian angel in your dreams, maybe, maybe not, but I think you're doing a lot of it. Let's go to Jacksonville, Florida. Tiva, first time caller. Hi there, Tiva.
Hi. My story is, I think a couple weeks ago you had a woman on your show, I don't know her name, that talked about the power of, like, suggestive thoughts or suggestions. And I know she wanted to do, like, a radio experiment.
That was Lynn McTaggart.
Yes, where you project, like, positive thoughts toward Washington.
That's right. Washington, D.C.
primary and everything. And, well, I'm usually not awake this time of morning. But I used to listen to this show a long time ago when I worked at night. But this particular night, you know, it was rainy in Jacksonville. And I took my husband to work because he usually takes his bike to work. He works overnight. And so I was able to catch the show. And so I said, okay, you know, I'm driving back home. And I said, well, I'm going to participate. I'm going to, you know, see how this works.
Sure.
And so I'm sitting in the front of my apartment. And, you know, she's getting started with the music and the thoughts and everything. And so, you know, I start projecting my thoughts, not only towards Washington, but towards myself, towards my family, you know, just positive thoughts. And that's interrupted by, I hear this thump, And I look to my side, my side mirror, and it's this guy, this hooded guy, trying to get into my car.
And you're in the car. Oh, no.
And I'm in the car, you know, and you, luckily my car door was locked because I usually keep my car door locked. But what, like, really freaked me out about the whole situation is, you know, I turn the car on immediately. He, like, jumps behind the car, and I put it in reverse. And as I'm trying to speed off, you know, he, like, pulls out a gun on me.
Oh.
But he, like, you know, I pull out of the apartment complex, and he, like, jumps over the hedges onto the road, and he's still pointing his gun. And, you know, but the thing about it is that it's just, like, so weird, that weirded me out so bad. It's, like, at the very moment that, you know, I'm meditating on this positive realm and thinking positive thoughts, this negative thing is happening.
We popped him up somehow.
You know.
They conjured him up.
For some reason, you know, I my husband thinks that I tipped the scale. You know, he thinks that because I was, like, thinking so much, trying to project so much positivity, you know, this negativity, you know, happened. And
well, think of it this way, Tibia. Think of this way. What if it was going to happen anyway? The outcome ended up better for you. What if it worked for you?
You know, for some reason, I just can't figure it out myself. I really can't, because I feel like, you're right. I was in my car. The car was locked. But what if I was getting out of my car and he grabbed me in my apartment?
But you didn't.
But I didn't. And so it has forever changed my life. It really has. Like, you know, when my husband goes to work, I'm at an all-night restaurant at night now.
You're not going to be waiting around. Are you thinking of moving?
Yes. We are thinking of moving. Well, we are moving, you know, at least it's up in August.
To.
So we're going to move. And yes, we have to, you know. And so I was like, you know, I told my husband, I said, I'm going to call Coast to Coast. I have to tell George this happened to me while I was listening to his program. This happened.
Well, I'm glad you are okay. My gosh, that would have been a disaster. Okay, great. Hey, let me tell everybody what's in store, of course, for next week on Coast to Coast AM. Of course, we've got John B. Wells on Saturday. And John, of course, will be talking about the Kryptos Conundrum, fascinating program about the underworld. So make sure you're part of that. On Sunday, George Knapp on. He's going to be talking about more of his work on missing people in the National Forest. It's a bizarre story. And to this day, no one can explain what the heck is going on over there. On Monday, Richard C. Hoagland joins us with some of the work he's been doing. Should be a fascinating program with Richard C. Hoagland. On Tuesday, we'll be talking about nature's environment and just what's going on with the push toward turning this planet around. Wednesday, of course, we're still working on that night. Linda Moulton Howe on Thursday with some incredible stories. She's back from Turkey. Gulbeki Tepe, we'll see what she's got to say. Friday, of course, we're going to be talking about the power and ability to communicate with our lost loved ones. And then, of course, we will have our special open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget, for those of you, I will be in Toronto tomorrow, major event tomorrow night. Just go to our website, click the calendar at the bottom of the homepage, and get all the information. And now, of course, here's our friend UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. See the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.